this is Cliff Cheney with Accord, and this is part two of the training series on the life and annuity standard. This session covers the scope of the life standard itself, and it gives you a brief catalog of the messages so you can understand the entire grasp of what the standard tries to cover. The goal of the standard is to be able to provide you a standardized mechanism to be able to exchange messages between applications, trading partners, both inside and outside of the company. In this slide here, we're looking at a message flowing between various trading partners, sample trading partners that might be involved in your traditional life and annuity exchange of new business. This slide is focusing predominantly on external entities, but it could also apply equally well to internal. In this, you'll see that a message is flowing from the producer to the distributor. That's message A. In that general situation, an individual writing agent or a producer will send one application. They might have three applications outstanding in a given week and be considered doing very good business. That application then is sent on to the distributor who, depending on the situation and depending on their relationship with the carrier and the carrier's model for doing business, will do various things with that message. At the very least, usually what will happen is the producer's message will be stapled, if you will, to a pack of applications that are forwarded from the distributor to the carrier. The distributor could do other things. However, they might shop the case, they might get quotes from other carriers, they may actually, in some cases, do field underwriting, order MIBs, that sort of thing. The point is the distributor then takes the message or the information from the producer, combines it with their own set of information, and sends it on to the carrier, one or more carriers probably. The carrier then will take that information and do everything from create an initial quote to creating a final application, accepting the business, putting it into new business and processing it, providing statuses back to the distributor maybe and or the producer. And then those messages will be farmed out once it's accepted to like reinsurers, other service providers such as an MIB order or a paramed order and that sort of thing. The point is all the way through that process, all the way through this series, as information flows, though the message might change, the information that flows between each of those trading partners is the same. If I'm an individual producer or writing agent and I send a message to the carrier, the information about me, Cliff Cheney, my agent number, my NIPR number, my full name, my certifications, etc., is all the same. I send that information to my distributor. When the distributor then sends that information on to the carrier and they want to describe the writing agent, they're describing the same person, this Cliff Cheney. So in all of the messages, the goal of the life standard is that that representation of Cliff Cheney is exactly the same and therefore reusable in all situations. About the only time you will see a change is if somebody or some entity adds to the message, adds additional information about Cliff Cheney that I didn't send to my distributor. They may send it on to the carrier. Or intentionally hides or takes away into information. Perhaps my distributor shops cases, and so when I send my application to the distributor, they may not send on the agent when they send on the information to a distributor or to a carrier in order to be able to quote the case. So that would be the only thing that would change, but the mapping effort, if you will, the XML modeling that we'll talk about, that sort of thing, is all completely reusable. And that's really the power of the standard. The standard defines a transactional architecture, and here you see a list of what we do in supporting that transactions. It's a request and response nature, meaning that every message that I send you allows for a response. It's not required, but every message I send you allows for a response. We have user authentication in there, message identification, request and responses information in there, etc. You can see that here on screen. We also support, I guess, the two that really stand out here, fire and forget functionality. That is the ability for me to send a message and not require or depend on or even care in some cases if I get a response, such as a case status or something along those lines. And I can do batch processing where I can send one big message that includes maybe 1,000 different applications or 1,000 different case statuses to between trading partners. This next slide here tries to talk about, explain the intersection of our messages. The intersection is really across three different planes, and could make a traditional three-dimensional graph, if you will. Across the horizontal of the slide, you'll see the product. And here we're trying to talk about the individual products such as life, annuity, and actually be a little more granular than that. It could be a specific annuity. It could be a joint life or a whole term, or whole life, excuse me. In the vertical axis, you see that we talk about the individual participants. From the highest level, we can think of these as people that we interact with. That would be the carriers, the distributors, a service provider, a paramed, MIB. It's all of the trading partners you do business with. But it actually would go a little bit lower than that because internally, for example, I might be doing business with my own web portal where it's really a publish and subscribe philosophy where I'm pushing information out, or I might have a GUI front end that is actually transacting business on my administration system. So there, even though if I'm a carrier in that situation, we might tend to think of the carrier as being one of the participants, I've actually described two different applications, so that would actually be two different participants in this Z model that we have going on. So if we go across the bottom, like I said, we have term, whole life, universal, variable life, and various products that apply there. Moving on to the participants, and finally, the process. The process is the Z-axis there, is the individual types of transactions that I'm trying to invoke. And unfortunately, in saying that, I actually led a potential misunderstanding. It's not the actual transaction, it's a business process, and that's kind of a very potential point of confusion in the standard, and I'll explain that in 1 second. But we tend to think of the individual processes, for example, as pre-sale, new business, we have invoice servicing, benefits claims, licensing requests, administrative changes, etc. And we tend to think of those as, or we tend to have an expectation that the standard would have a transaction for each one of those processes. And it doesn't quite exactly work that way. The situation is actually at each intersection, you will have one or more message. If you look at this next slide here where you can see the vision, and you'll see that all of the individual messages stacked up in what would be a slight interpretation of what a message might look like if we try to represent them this way. In this, what you'll see, though, the point of this that is really important conveys two things. On the far left side, you'll see a message that goes across multiple participants, but appears to look like it's trying to be represented and work for one individual product and one individual process. One message might actually work for multiple products, but only one participant or a set of participants. Or a message might actually go across the Z-axis and be intended to work for a particular product and a particular participant, but actually be applicable across multiple services or business processes. So really when it comes to trying to decide which transaction should you use, how should transaction should be modeled, and which one works for what you're after, we really need to understand all three of those P's. We need to understand the product that you're working with, the trading partner or participant that you're working with, and what business process that you're going to do. All of those converge to influence both the selection of the message that you will use and how you'll model that message, and we'll get into more of those details later. In this next slide here, we're looking at the business catalog, at the business message catalog. And this isn't intended to be exhaustive. If you want to know the full list of transactions, actually I think it might be, but if you want to look at the full list of transactions, they're available in the help file. But here we're trying to get a sense of what transactions and what processes we support. We started a new business, and you'll find that we have the most transactions, the most depth there in those sorts of processes. And as the slides illustrate, you'll see a long list of transactions there. We also do pre-sale, including illustrations and post-sale illustrations. we allow companies to be able to exchange information about what products they have available, how that product applies to individuals. If I have a 40-year-old male in a particular income bracket, what products apply, I can do that in the model, et cetera. We do your traditional inquiry and statusing. I can do a request for the status of a product or a policy I have in new business, or I could do a request for the status of a product that's actually in force, get cash values, exchange cash values, exchange information about individuals like I would be talking to a CRM or somebody's Rolodex file or Outlook and that sort of thing. We also do reinsurance. In the EDI world, there was an older standard, LREACT and LREFACT. Both of those messages, both of those processes are supported within the standard. We do grouping, group enrollments, householding, et cetera, and then we do some of the more typical SQL sort of things as far as being able to search, actually do fairly complex searches, and be able to search on any type of information that is currently in the standard. We support what we call tabular data, slightly misnamed, we'll get into that a little bit later, but it's the ability to be able to exchange rate card information, fees, most of the things you would generally think of as being on a rate card, but it goes way beyond that as well. We have investment-specific transactions that aren't limited to just life and annuities. We can actually do investment-specific things such as levelizing sub-accounts, et cetera. In-force messages I already mentioned. And then there's the general messages that we support as far as address change or party change, that sort of thing. So that concludes part two of our training session on the life and annuity standard, where today we talked about the scope of the standard and the catalog of messages available.